Division is a fact of life in this day and age, but it's not one that belongs in the church that was purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Welcome back. We're glad that you're joining us on Light of the Word Radio, a ministry sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. This week, Pastor Jim concludes his message on division within the church. It's not just race that's a point of division. There are many such places. In many churches, we have forgotten who we are, and worse, we have forgotten whose we are. For not only has God made us all of one blood, He has purchased us with the same blood. The blood of Christ allows no division, but there is hope. For when we repent, God forgives. So sit back and join us as we hear the conclusion of this message. And may God speak to us and call us to repent for all the places that we divide.
When you decide that it is okay to do something that you know is wrong, somebody is watching. They're watching when you do good as well, but they're watching when you do wrong. And how you respond to what you do wrong is every bit as important as how you do right. Peter pulled away because of prejudice, because of racism. They were not Jews, and he did not want to be condemned or rebuked again. Sometimes when we are running from the thing that we fear, it is what catches us because we run to it and we don't even realize it. And I'll finish that thought in a minute. So bad was this that Barnabas, now let's talk for a second about who Barnabas is. Barnabas went with Paul when he went to the apostles both times. Barnabas was on that first missionary journey with Paul. Barnabas was the first of the apostles who said, "This is Paul. Saul is dead. This is Paul." Who Saul was, died at conversion. He was the one who brought Paul to the apostles. He had walked with Paul every step of the way as he was starting these churches. He was ministering to the Gentiles. He was 100% a part of it. And all of the sudden, we see here in this 13th verse, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. That's some pretty serious stuff, isn't it? That is some pretty serious stuff. I want you to get a picture of this. There was, in most places where the Jews and the Gentiles were eating, there was two tables. There was the table for the Jew, and then there was what they called the common table for everybody else. Everybody's around the common table. These religious people show up. I don't believe they said anything. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. Doesn't say. So it's just my guess. Peter, because of them, gets up, goes over to the table for the Jews. And I believe that at that point, the only ones there are the ones that just showed up. Sits down with them. And then all of a sudden, here comes the rest of the Jews. And they sit down there. And Barnabas looks around, and he's the only Jew besides Paul left sitting there. And I picture in my own mind, in my own heart, Barnabas getting up knowing it was wrong. Head hung low, walking over to the other table. You ever been there? That because of somebody who believes differently, you compromise God's word. Because of somebody who doesn't believe at all, you compromise God's word. Because of your own prejudices, you compromise God's word. That's what they compromised. See the division that was built here? In this one act, the church was divided. You ever seen a divided church? That's ugly. I've seen it. I've lived through it. That is as ugly a thing as you will ever see in your life, is a divided church. But that's what we had. What is the church? It is the people, right? It's not this building. The church is the people. What people? Everybody that comes? No. Everybody who belongs to Christ, right? Or in other words, the body, right? What would happen if you rip somebody's body apart? You'd kill them, wouldn't it? What happens when you rip the body of Christ apart? It begins to kill it, doesn't it? And it takes the great physician to heal it. It takes God and God alone to heal a body that's been ripped apart. That's the picture. That's the picture. Several years ago, we had our sanctuary set up kind of like this. And we had a really small crowd one week. And I announced during the handshaking, or before the handshaking time, that when we came back, if everybody would move to the two center aisles. And a woman came in during the handshaking that wasn't here before. And she sat down in the wing. And as everybody who was in the wing grabbed their Bibles and went to the center, she was certain that I had told everybody not to sit close to her and to isolate her. She was certain. That was, why else would they all move? And no explaining from anybody could change her mind. Folks, when our hearts begin to divide, it gets ugly. This was an ugly moment, built on hypocrisy, built on peer pressure, built on prejudice. Folks, we have people trying to divide us as a country. We have people trying to divide us as Christians. I have had people tell me, how can you possibly go preach at a Methodist church as a Baptist? I said, I can go preach anywhere. Funny thing is, the same people would be just as happy to go preach to somebody in a bar, but not a Methodist church. When we had our symposium a couple years ago, there were people who were signed up to come to the symposium, but when they saw that there were Methodists coming to the symposium because they were invited, they thought, well, why would we go to a symposium? Why would we go to a conference where even someone that is liberal in their Christianity would go? Oh, folks, people are trying to divide us all the time, and they're trying to divide us by race as well. You know, I went to high school, junior high and high school in Junction City. And I don't know what the actual numbers were, but I'd say probably 40% of the school was white kids, 40% was black kids, and the other 20% was all sorts of different nationalities and backgrounds. Because of the fort, you know, there was lots of different people there. So I didn't think a whole lot about race, about someone's color. That wasn't part of my thinking. When I first moved to Texas to learn the ministry, where I was at there in Texas, I went to Walmart. It was one of my first days there. I was at Walmart, and there was a black man in front of me in the line at Walmart. I do what I always do. I started up a conversation. I already knew what church I was going to, and so I invited him to church. Did not think a thing about it. Just, I got out to the parking lot, and somebody from that church came up to me and said, well, we don't do that here. So you don't invite people to church? No, we don't invite black people to church. I said, you're kidding me. I couldn't believe it. It wasn't something that even began to sink into my head, that they would divide themselves in a church by color. I mean, if that isn't the exact opposite of who we are in Christ, I don't know what is. I will have you know that in the time I was there, quite a few black folks came to the church because I kept inviting them. But it wasn't just that church. It was a culture. When I first got down there, my job was selling funerals door to door. I'd go knock on someone's door and sell them a funeral for themselves, prearranged funeral. I went to one house, knocked on the door. Lady said, yes. I said, I'm with Case and Monk Funeral Home. I'd like to visit with you. And she said, but I'm black. I said, yes, ma'am, I can see that. I said, I'm with Case and Monk Funeral Home. I'd like to visit with you, but I'm black. I said, ma'am, I don't know what that means. I said, I don't know what you're trying to tell me. She said, well, I'm going to use the black funeral home. Well, after a few more minutes, she let me in. We had a wonderful visit. Sometimes prejudice is so deep that people don't even realize it. Because the people from the church that told me not to invite black people to the church, they would have told me, if I'd have asked them, that they were not prejudiced. It's just not something they do. The woman that wants the black funeral home would have told me that she was not prejudiced. It's just natural that she'd use the black funeral home. That's what's going on here. It is so deep and so natural that when someone else sees it, that old way comes back. But as Christians in the United States of America, we do not have an option to let that happen. Because every time that takes place, you are denying the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't care what somebody's color is, and I don't care what their nationality is. I don't care what they look like. We all come, every one of us, come through Noah, don't we? By Adam, through Noah. Every one of us. And if somebody belongs to Jesus Christ, they are my brother or my sister in Christ. It doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. One of the things that happens in churches is sometimes people that the world think is odd. There was a man in Cynthia's church in New York that she told me about that she befriended. He always did odd things. And people would shy away from him just because he did odd things. But she said he loved the Lord. He was worshiping and loved the Lord. He was her brother, wasn't he? Her brother in Christ. And we do not have a right to deny Christ and to shy away from somebody. We have a responsibility to love them, period. One of those divisions in this country is conservative and liberal. How politics has divided the church is sad. Those of you who have been with Lighthouse for a long time, you know that I was not a fan of Obama, but I asked you every week to pray for him, didn't I? Every week. I prayed for him in my prayers regularly. And I did not pray for harm to come to him. I did not pray that he would be taken out of office. I prayed for his salvation every single day. And that's what I asked you to do as well. Because even politics should not change and divide us. I am 56 years old. And in my lifetime, I do not remember the division that I see today. Division by race. Division by nationality. Division by political stand. We need to find the common ground, don't we? And that common ground is Jesus Christ. That was the common ground that brought Jew and Gentile to the same table. And there will always be somebody trying to divide that. Always. I'm going to jump back up to verse 11 for a second. But when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. Paul says, I got in his face. That's what he's saying. Remember who we just said Peter was? Peter was the unofficial leader of the apostles. He was really the unofficial leader of the church. There was a day when Jesus asked the disciples and the apostles, who do men say I am? So, oh, they think you're John the Baptist, you're Elijah. They're going through this list of people that others think that Jesus is. He said, well, who do you think I am? And Peter steps up and he says, you are the Christ. You are the Son of God. And Jesus says, you are Peter. And on this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of Hades, the gates of hell, will not prevail against it. So once again, I say, let's stop right there for just a second. Let's define the church. It was actually Paul Washer. If you know who Paul Washer is, somebody said to him that the church is in trouble, that the church is falling apart, the church is this, the church is that. And he said, no, it is not. He said, the true church, the true people who actually belong to Christ are living as they should and repenting as they should. It is the false church that is falling and crumbling. As Pastor John MacArthur makes his stand for worship, I am so amazed. I am so amazed at the leaders, so to speak, who have spoken against him. I saw something from Tim Keller this week. Now, I've never been a big fan of Tim Keller, but I always thought he was a very solid preacher, or at least author. He indirectly rebuked MacArthur for standing like he is, for holding church services. Think what would happen if the true church in China quit meeting. There wouldn't be any church left, would there? What if the true church in Pakistan or Iran quit meeting? There wouldn't be a remnant. We come together because we are commanded to by our Lord, right? the scriptures tell us to. In Hebrews, it says that we are not to forsake the gathering together, as some do. Now, there's all sorts of reasons that we can attach to anything, isn't there? My dad would have called those excuses, not reasons. We have lots of excuses that we can attach to anything we don't want to do. But the true church, just like in China, is willing to be at risk, to come together and make much of God. You know that there are pastors being imprisoned and tortured in China because they are leading a church. In China, if you've read David Platt's book, in China, people will walk half a day to sit in a tiny room with one light bulb and study the Word of God for hours and then walk another half a day back. I heard a story years ago about a church service in a nursing home. It was held down in the cafeteria of the nursing home or the assisted living. And as two ladies were coming from their rooms heading to the service, they passed a window, big atrium window, and one of the women turned around and started heading back to her room. The other said, "What are you doing?" She said, "It's raining today. I can't go to church." Folks, we make excuses why we can't. But the only real reason to miss church, the only real reason, is because you are sick and don't want to share it with somebody else. Other than that, and even that gets abused, there are those who are sick every Sunday. There are people who on Sundays have an aches and pains. And I'm not denying that they have them. But they're rooted in the fact that they really don't want to go to church. They don't want to gather around God's people, spend an hour and a half with that long-winded preacher, when they can just sit at home. Division comes in all different directions. As people of the way, as Christians, you and I, have a responsibility not to division, but reconciliation. We can lead people to reconciliation with God, and anyone who is reconciled with God, there is no business of ours to be separated from them. Period. Verse 14, when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, what is it Paul saw? He saw that that separation did not match what he taught as the gospel. Now let's go back to that first chapter for just a second in our minds and remember. What did he say? If someone comes and preaches a different gospel, they should be anathema. They should be cursed. They should be damned if someone teaches a different gospel. And all of a sudden, in hypocrisy of racism, Peter is damaging the gospel. The very thing that Peter will give his life for. But when I saw their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas, before them all. I love this. Before them all. There is a place and a time to rebuke somebody publicly, isn't there? When we look at what the scriptures say about church discipline, what they say about somebody with a dispute, says first you go to them privately, just yourself. If that doesn't solve it, you take somebody with you. If that doesn't solve it, you go to the church. And if that doesn't solve it, you put them out of the fellowship. That's the system of discipline that the scripture lays out. Sometimes, because of the damage to the gospel, it needs to come swift and it needs to come publicly. I guarantee you, my adopted dad did not have an issue rebuking me publicly when I was growing up. When I was under Brother Irvin, learning to be a pastor, a minister, he used to come to me and he'd say, "Now, Brother Jim, I know you'll understand this and take it in the right way." I knew rebuke was coming. I knew I'd done something. It always took me by surprise. It was never what I thought it might be. But Paul's going to address him publicly. I said to Cephas before them all, "If you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile, and not like a Jew, how can you force Gentiles to live like Jews?" What was the living he was talking about? There's a lot of opportunity for speculation here. Some think, well, Peter was eating pork. You know, God said it was unclean. It was clean now, so he could eat it. He was eating things that previously were considered unclean. And I might add, probably enjoying them, right? Can you imagine? No bacon? You know, that's a possibility. I don't know. Some say, oh, well, it was the hypocrisy of separating himself from them. Some say it was, depending on who he was with, again, hypocrisy, as to how he behaved. But the expecting the Gentile to act like a Jew, in other words, expecting the Gentile to be circumcised, but you don't have to have anything else but grace. Whatever it was, Peter got the message, didn't he? Peter got the message. When we begin to allow our heart to wander, that's wander, not wonder. When we allow our heart to wander, our mind to wander, we begin to move away from the gospel. When we move away from the gospel, there are those who are going to move away from it with us. You know, one of the saddest things I hear someone say, and unfortunately I hear it very often, is when some parent says, well, we don't force our kids to go to church. We want to let them pick their own way. That's not biblical, is it? The Bible gives us a direction, doesn't it? It says, raise them up in the way that they ought to go. I've said many times that the damage we see in our nation today came from the generation that I'm the end of. Came from the baby boomers. Because what the baby boomers are doing is they're trying to give their kids and their grandkids all the things that they didn't have, and they aren't giving them what they did. The baby boomers received the Word of God. But there are generations after the baby boomers who do not know the first thing about God's Word. We have taken God out of the schools, out of the courts, out of the government. We have taken God out of the home, out of the public square. And when we have done that, we sit back and scratch our heads when we see people living the most ungodly lives they can possibly live. And we wonder, well, why is it? It's because you gave them what you didn't have and didn't give them what you did. We have got to pass the gospel on to the next generation, don't we? With our children, our grandchildren, for some great-grandchildren. We've got to pass it on. And we've got to pass it on in truth. Oh, friends, this picture of Peter is not very pretty, is it? But remember now who Peter is. Because Peter repents of this, doesn't he? Peter repents and continues on in that same role of leadership, of strength, to the point where the legend has it, when he died, he was to be crucified. And he asked to be crucified upside down because he was not worthy to hang like Jesus. That's the legend of Peter's death. That's the story. The historians say, Josephus said, that's how Peter died. Where we have been is not the final indicator of where we are going. Where we are going depends 100% on what we believe, truly believe about Jesus Christ. It will show, won't it? A little story that I heard a long time ago, and I've shared it from time to time. One Sunday after church, there was a family at church that invited the preacher and his wife over. They're going to have a mid-afternoon lunch. So the family goes home, and they're preparing things and getting everything ready for the preacher and his wife to come. As they're preparing, I want you to know this family was a fairly faithful family. What do you mean by fairly faithful? Well, they were at church. You could count on being there at least two, maybe three times a month. They even occasionally came to the Sunday night service. They even checked in and out of Bible studies. So they were a fairly faithful family. They prepare lunch. Pastor and his wife show up. They sit down to eat. The mother says to the little boy, she says, Johnny, she said, why don't you say grace for us? He said, Mom, I don't know what to say. She said, you just pray like you hear Mom and Dad pray. He said, okay. And he bowed his head, and he says, oh, Lord, why did we invite these people to lunch? You see, what you think will come out. Who you are will be seen. And when it is, it's going to be embarrassing. It's going to be embarrassing. If you truly belong to Christ, we need to live all of our life, in our job, in our home, in our school, like we belong to Him. We need to be sold out. And if we are the last Jew sitting at the table like Paul was, then so be it, right? Let it be. And if we are the one that God raises up to help somebody back on the path with a rebuke because they have wandered, then let it be. There are people I have rebuked publicly. There are people I have rebuked privately. And I have been rebuked. And it doesn't feel good, but it's healthy. Something I never thought I would ever say is those spankings. And when I was a little boy, helped me. They grew me. They taught me. Quite frankly, if we had a few more spankings today, we'd have a few less riots. But we need to be those people. We need to be that last Jew sitting at the table because it is right by the gospel. What do people think and what do people know about you? Are you an example that leads people to the gospel, or are you an example that leads them away from the truth? Please stand with me. Father God, as we close today, Lord, I pray that this has honored you, because that is why we are here. Our whole purpose is to bring glory to your holy name, and with glory is your honor. So, Father, we just pray that you use us. I pray, Lord, that you use me, that many would know you, because you are worthy, because you are God. In the name of Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen.
What a painful question to consider. Are we examples that lead others to Christ, or are we examples that drive them away? The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is freely offered to all, regardless of race, sex, creed, or politics. All of us need the truth of the gospel, and once we're forgiven, found in Christ, we're all family, children of the same Heavenly Father. This simple fact unites us deeper than any other power can divide us. It's time that the Church of God remembered that fact, for this is a place where we must repent if we have been found in sin. This is the command of our Lord. He will allow no division within His church, His body, His bride. Let us all check our hearts and repent when God shows us our sin. We want to thank you for joining us today, and we'd love to hear from you. If you want to hear more of Pastor Jim, you can find him on the web at www.sermonaudio.com. Just search for Lighthouse Southern Baptist Church. If you've been blessed by this message or have questions about the content or about our ministry, if you have need of counsel or guidance, want us to pray for you, please reach out to us and let us know. We can be reached in many different ways. We can be called toll-free at 800-416-9352. Again, that number is 800-416-9352. You can find us on the web at www.lightoftheWordRadio.com. Once more, that's www.lightoftheWordRadio.com. You can reach us by mail at Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. When you reach out to us in any of these ways, you can also inquire about participating in the support of this ministry. If you desire to partner with us to keep this broadcast on the air, please let us know. We would like to send you a gift of appreciation. At your request for a gift of any size, we'll send you the book On This Day, A Daily Guide to Spiritual Lessons from Christian History by Dr. Paul E. Barkey. This 640-page book is organized around each day in the calendar using stories from history with a biblical lesson for each. On This Day brings great stories from history to us and applies them to help lift our eyes upward to see the God who governs all of history. It's just one of Dr. Barkey's daily devotions that bring lessons to light from history, and it's yours free as a thank you for a gift of any size. Just mention that you would like the book when you write or call. This has been Light of the Word Radio, sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. We want to thank you for allowing us to spend some time with you. We hope that you'll join us next time. Until then, I'm Pastor Eugene, and on behalf of all of us here at Light of the Word Radio, thanks, and may God bless you and bless the hearing of His Word.